Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Marcus Tullius Cicero's work on friendship, one of the things that he's going to do early on in the work, putting this in the mouth of the character Laelius, who was an existing human being, is to try to provide a definition of friendship. Now, this is going to be friendship in the fullest and truest sense, not just anything that we happen to call friendship. And we'll talk about that point a little bit later. That's a very important thing to keep in mind. Before we do that, though, there's two things that I want to bring up that help provide a little bit of context here. So the first thing is that Laelius's own companions, which are presumably his friends as well, ask him to provide a discussion of friendship. They're confused about it because it is a confusing matter. So Phanius says, "It would be agreeable to me and to Scaevola too, if following your usual practice on other subjects, when questions concerning them are put to you, you would discuss friendship and give us your opinion as to its theory and practice," which is how it's being translated here. Now, Laelius says, well, that's not the easiest thing to do. He says, "I would raise no objection if I felt confidence in myself, for the subject is a noble one. But who am I, or what skill have I?" So he's saying this is a complex matter. He says, "For a subject of everything possible to be said on the subject of friendship, I advise you to apply to those who profess that art. All that I can do is to urge you to put friendship before all other things human. Nothing is so conformable to nature, nothing so adaptable to our fortunes, whether they be favorable or adverse." And then after that preamble, he goes into a discussion about friendship, and he will give us a very useful definition. The other thing I wanted to stress from the beginning is that they got into this discussion because they were talking about the great friendship that Laelius enjoyed with somebody who he considered to be his superior in many respects, and that is the Roman hero, statesman, general, and other things, Scipio, who has recently passed away. And so we have a model here early on, as well as other people being discussed, for what these friendships would look like. This isn't a purely abstract discussion. This is taking some people from that historical context. This is happening in narrative terms a little bit before the time that Cicero's writing this, by several decades, but it's still going to provide some context to the readers of that time. And so we might well imagine people of our own time where we've seen something like this going on. So with all that said, let's now look at the definition that Laelius, who's just begged off talking about this topic, is going to provide. So this is at the beginning of chapter 6. He tells us that friendship is nothing else than an accord in all things, human and divine, conjoined with mutual goodwill and affection. So we should look at each of those parts in turn. So it's nothing other than an accord, or we could translate this in other ways. The Latin for it is consensio. And whenever you have this con, that means a sort of togetherness. Sensio is coming from sentire, to have an understanding of, to perceive. And so friends have a kind of accord or agreement, or they see things the same way. We often say people are on the same page. This is central not just to Cicero's conception of genuine friendship, but to earlier conceptions of friendship as well, including that of Aristotle, to whom you can see this theory of friendship clearly indebted. And by Aristotle, I mean the discussions in Nicomachean Ethics, books 8 and 9, and the corresponding discussions in the Eudaimonian Ethics. So an accord, an agreement, we might even go further and say harmony or concord, in all things, human and divine. So according to this, this wouldn't just be about beliefs. This would also be about actions. We could think about divine. In the time of Cicero, of course, this has to do with the understanding of traditional Roman religion, but also perhaps philosophical conceptions of the gods that are less anthropomorphic. And so Cicero is saying, when it comes to these transcendent matters, what's really best in life? What is responsible for the world being the way that it is, whether there are gods or not, there has to be a kind of agreement. And then also in matters human. This doesn't mean that everybody has to have exactly the same, you know, ideas about table setting or the same tastes in music or the same Netflix cue or anything like that. But there has to be some sort of basic commonality where the people are on the same page. So, you know, what would be some examples of things that could disrupt that? Well, if one person is into snuff porn and the other person isn't, that is going to be a deal breaker, right? There isn't going to be a friendship there. Actually, Cicero would probably say people who are into that sort of thing, not going to be good friends no matter what. They've got other problems going on. But we could think about all sorts of other less ridiculous examples, how one ought to spend or acquire money. Child rearing, politics, all of these sorts of things can bring people together or separate them. And the accord could not just be perhaps about the content itself, but also about how people discuss it. Quite often, relationships will break down when there is a lack of agreement about what's actually going on when people disagree with each other. And if that happens often enough, that can damage what he's calling friendship here. Now, he also says that there's two other things involved here, and these are really important terms as well. Conjoined with is just a translation of cum in Latin, meaning with. So the conjoined is a little bit aspirational, but you don't have to worry about that too much. Mutual goodwill. Benevolentia. This is really essential. And again, this was in Aristotle's classic treatment of friendship. In his case, he talked about friends feeling mutual goodwill towards each other. And what is goodwill? It is desiring good for the sake of the other without anything necessarily self-interested in your own part being the origin or the direction or the orientation of that. So when I hear that my friend has got a new job, I am happy for them because I want them to have productive, remunerative, interesting, meaningful work, right? Or at least to be able to put food on the table if it's not a great job or anything like that. I don't worry about whether that means they can buy me presents or cookies or whatever. I am focused on the good of the friend. And so this is absolutely part of friendship for Cicero. And now notice the next term, and affection. Caritate here in the ablative case. Caritas is the nominative case for this. And if you have ever wondered about pagan authors versus Christian authors, and there's this idea that, well, with Christianity, we suddenly see a new kind of love, which is translated, you know, from the Greek agape, right? Well, in Latin, that's usually caritas. And here we see that Cicero thinks that caritas, affection, love for the other, is absolutely central to friendship. Some of these ideas about, you know, pagans and Christians or the different kinds of love that are very schematic are quite often off base. And in the case of this work, that is certainly the situation. So affection, mutual goodwill, and agreement. These three things together compose friendship. There is something else that he says a little bit earlier in chapter 5 that I think is quite relevant about goodwill. So I'm going to read the passage here. He says that friendship excels relationship in this, in that goodwill may be eliminated from relationship, while from friendship it cannot. Since if you remove goodwill from friendship, the very name of friendship is gone. If you remove it from relationship, the name of relationship still remains. So what is he talking about there? So benevolentia, willing good to the other person, It can be there or might not be there in what we're translating as relationship, propinquitas, right? A degree of being connected with another person. This could be being a neighbor, which is what propinquitas suggests, or it could also be family members. People sometimes say, well, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. You're kind of stuck with them, is the idea there. And very often we can see that families remain connected together, even when they're lacking goodwill, sometimes when they have malice towards each other. Same thing with your neighbor. You can live next to your neighbor and hate their guts, but you still live in the same neighborhood together, don't you? But with friends, if you lack goodwill, as Cicero is saying, that removes the friendship. Now, you might say, what is this business about the name itself? He says, sublata enim benevolentia amicitiae nomen tollitur, right? And by name or nomen there, he means something like the genuine description of what's going on. So when we take goodwill out of friendship, we don't really have friendship anymore. Another thing that he tells us that's quite interesting is that friendship is quite possibly the best thing given to human beings. Now, again, friendship, when it has these three interpenetrating elements to it, accord, mutual goodwill, and affection. Friendship in the sense of just being plain old friends with somebody because you knew them from high school and you correspond on Facebook every once in a while and like their posts, not so much, right? That's not that big of a deal. But a really good friendship and a really good friend in that friendship are among the best things that we can enjoy. Now, I want to specify as we bring this to a close that Cicero tells us this has to do not with every kind of friendship, but with what he calls pure and complete, in Latin, perfecta, brought to its complete fulfillment, or you could say not having any sort of blemish. So pure and complete friendship, not the ordinary friendships that we often have in mind. He says that there's a lot of things that pass as friendship and get called friendship that aren't actually such. And then he tells us another thing that also comes from Aristotle that I think is quite valuable to examine. He tells us that the true friend is actually kind of image of the self. And the Latin there is tamquam exemplar. Tamquam is sort of a de-intensification. It tells you, well, sort of. It's not exactly an image of the self, exemplum, right? A copy or something like that. But it's quite similar to that. And so it's interesting here, too. It's natural to read it as the friend being an image of oneself. Cicero uses the term sui in there in the Latin. And he says, whoever looks upon, intuitor, right? The friend looks upon a certain image of the self, of oneself. But we could also think about it this way. And so here's a suggestion that goes a little bit beyond the text. When one looks upon the friend in friendship, in these important dimensions of benevolentia and caritas, right? Maybe one is not just looking upon an image of oneself, but an image of what the self in oneself and the friend could indeed be. We often talk about our better self, and I think that that would correspond quite well with the way in which Cicero here is helping us to understand what genuine friendship would indeed look like. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.